I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk. Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, haha, they're coming to take me away, ho ho hee hee, haha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their green white coats, and they're coming to take me away, haha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed, I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, haha. They're coming to take me away, ho ho hee hee, haha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, haha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, haha. They're coming to take me away, ho ho hee hee, haha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their great white coats. And they're coming to take me away, haha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle and thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, haha.
Well, after the guys kicked the snot out of me because they really wanted to hear that mashup, that was Take Me Away, Florida.
Oh, grandson. Yeah, Florida. You take the word Florida, you put a space in it. Florida.
Oh, so it's, like, oh, I get it now.
See,
it's spelled
like
Florida.
I keep on wanting to say Florida, and then I get really confused because they see the capital R.
Florida. Why doesn't he just put a W in there?
Because then it wouldn't spell Florida.
It would be Florida.
As well as a mashup with Napoleon the 14th. That was by Frog the Dog. Well, we got two interviews for you. So first up, pretty crazy thing. I was watching a YouTube clip of random Mega Rant, who will be here on November 20th.
That's Orlando at the Geek Easy. Boosh.
Pretty awesome. He was
a plane ticket.
He was watching TNA, the wrestling show, and apparently a fan had told him to watch it. He watches it, and during this promo bit, Splash Woman starts playing. Mega Rant's track,
featuring music from Capcom,
is playing in the background, and Random goes, "That's funny. I don't remember them asking me if they could play this. I don't remember getting paid by TNA for them to play this." And for those that are going, "Well, why would Random get money for music that was inspired by Capcom?" Random has signed a copyright agreement with Capcom where he licenses their music for free.
Wow.
He promotes them, and they appreciate that.
So the tits and ass wrestling show stole Random's music.
So what is he doing about it?
I don't know. I guess when he comes on November 20th, we could ask him.
Shit.
Can I wrestle him to find out these facts?
He will win.
I know.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, but I'm going to be greasy.
I'm going to cover myself in oil. He's going to have a hard time pinning me down. I'm just going to keep going.
We all know about the Shale Riley success.
Right. The Kickstarter. Boom.
Unfortunately, Kickstarter doesn't always work. It didn't work for Nerdapalooza, so we migrated our lifetime sales onto our store. It also sadly did not work for Scrub Club Records.
Aww. And that amazing steampunk album.
Yeah, the John Henry Experience, where it was going to be a steampunk hip-hop album. Using beats made purely from ear instruments, and for $35, you would get a copy on vinyl. Mm-hmm. That's pretty freaking awesome.
Everyone's using Kickstarter, but if you don't raise enough money, then
everything gets refunded.
So why not use like YouFunded or any of those other things
that
don't do that?
My guess is, I haven't talked to Hatter about this, is that he saw Shale Riley's success and went, "Well, I can jump on that bandwagon."
Yeah.
Without really going, "Well, what else is there?"
Yeah, it's
true. Because the average person just looking for some cash goes, "Hey, look, Kickstarter. I know. I was one of them."
Yeah.
And gotcha. I had a success with Kickstarter. The video is going to premiere on nerdyshow.com later this month. We showed an early draft of it at Nerdapalooza, actually. And, you know, it can be a successful enterprise, but you have to promote it in the right places. It's not just enough to put it up there.
Yeah, that's what I learned with Nerdapalooza. Now, for the last bit of news, which will lead into the first interview, Sage Francis, the hip-hop artist, went on Twitter and pretty much went, "Yo, what's up with all this homophobia in hip-hop today?" To which our interviewee, MC Rection, responded with, "Yo, check out this track I did, show me how to blow dudes."
Which is the opposite of homophobia.
Exactly.
That's, in fact, like,
"Hello, good sir. Are you familiar with giving blowjobs to other men?"
So
this is a track I can get
immediately
on my knees for.
St. Francis went, "Yo, what's with all this whack white comedy rappers?" To which I immediately went, "Dude, stop hating on Weird Al."
Yeah.
We talk about it at length in the interview.
This thing blew up. This is along the lines of the whole MC Lars scandal.
Yeah.
In fact, it's related.
And we talk about that in the interview.
Hmm.
But before the interview, why not play the track "Show Me How to Blow Dudes, Blow Dudes" by MC Rection and Rapping the Crapperson.
MC Rection!
Yeah!
Rapping the Crapperson!
Yeah!
Number two!
Dude.
Going almost straight to the top!
Yeah!
Come on, let's get money!
Show me how to blow dudes, blow dudes! Show me how to blow dudes!
Let me show you how to blow.
Sucked his dick, booty hole moist. Tonight I'm blowing dudes,
yeah.
Tons of random dudes. School you in a blowjob game. Let me show you. This random dude was waiting at the bus stop. Should I grab his dick and suck on it? Why the hell not?
Yeah.
Nighttime is a tight time. If you don't want me to blow you, then it's fight time. I'll beat you up and pull your pants down and suck your dick. Yeah, who's the man now?
Meet us at the mall, call us 1-800. Show me how to blow dudes, Rappy and Rection. We will show you, teach you the way, you a new porn star. Lollipopping, licking, throbbing, bobbing real hard. We show you how to do it, get you all into it. Teach you how to spew it, shave off all the pubic. So fresh and so clean, clean, this is the dream, dream. Michael J. Fox was a motherfucking wolf team. With the hairy genitals, choke a chicken general. Suck a giant dick of a large mutant sentinel. Call me Wolverine, ring, watch me go skate, skate. Jizz moppers in the booth, you know they fear me, you hear me? Sucking dicks, no sweat. You know we be keeping all the buttholes wet.
Show me how to blow dudes.
Show you how to blow a dude. Smoke weed every
day. Hi, this is Hex and Cap, and we're here with MC Rection of Emergency Pizza Party.
Hello.
He's waving.
Yes.
So, for those that aren't in the know, MC Rection is, I guess, on the legendary level of nerdcore hip-hop artists. Now, you've been around for a while and inspired quite a few people.
Yeah, I guess. I've been around since, like, 2004. 2006 is when we started Emergency Pizza Party.
eons as nerdcore goes, really.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. You've released a number of albums, and one of the most prolific was a Nerdcore Supervillain, which was your second solo album.
I mean, I guess the first official, like, full-length album. The first one was just, like, a little EP with 10 tracks, and I think 3 or 4 of them were skits, so more of an EP than anything. But then Supervillain was, like, 30 tracks with maybe 5 or 6 voicemail skits or something.
You've definitely been known to do collaborations in the past, be it with Zealous One or more recently with Rappy McRapperson.
Mm-hmm.
With the second best mixtape ever.
Yes. That's what we called it, the second best mixtape ever.
What is the first?
We don't know. We just didn't want to call ourselves the first best.
It's a safe assumption.
Yeah. I mean, we're like, this is going to be good. Not the best, but second best is good enough. Yeah, that just kind of was made on the whim. He was here for Nerdapalooza, and then he only bought a one-way ticket, so we're like, hey, you can sleep on our couch for a month or two, whatever you want to do, and while he was here, we made that album in about a month. We just got beats off the internet that sounded very mainstream style and tried to make our own mainstream style hip-hop. I don't know. It was fun working with Rappy McRapperson. He's actually, like, really professional when it comes to music. It's like a workhorse, I guess you could say.
It's good that behind all the zaniness, there's...
Yeah, he's actually...
a little master.
He's crazy, but he's serious about music. He's and smart, too. He knows a lot about promotion and all sorts of things.
Well, recently, as I've heard it, I wasn't there firsthand. As the story goes, Sage Francis said something along the lines of, "What's with all the homophobia in hip-hop today, am I right?" To which you responded...
I said, "How's this for anti-homophobic hip-hop?" And I gave him a link to our video, Show Me How to Blow Dudes, which is a song about that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, you know, let's see what he thinks, if he even responds. And he did, saying that, you know, it's not homophobic, maybe, but it's definitely racist. And something about wearing shoe polish, I don't know, but... Just it brought up this whole little fight on Twitter amongst other nerdcore artists and fans, just kind of defending me and Rappy for our song, and it was interesting.
Now, I haven't seen the video. Is there shoe polish wearing in the video?
No, there's not.
So where did he get that?
I guess he was just kind of making the assumption that we were making fun of black people by rapping.
I guess. This is 2010, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm correct on the date. Where's he coming from?
I don't know.
I think it's on a very similar note to where MC Lars made the statement,
mm-hmm.
Nerdcore is racist. Where, now this is just me going on a limb on saying what Sage Francis intended, not what he actually said. And it's basically along the lines of, since you are not of the cultural group that this movement belongs to, by you making jokes in that genre, you are making fun of the genre.
Right.
Which pretty much says Weird Al is racist.
That's what I thought, too. I actually was very tempted to get Weird Al into the whole Twitter thing, but I didn't want to drag him into it, and who knows if he would have even cared to respond, but that's what I thought of as well. Like, so does that mean Weird Al is racist? But then he went on this, it's like a very fine line, and I don't know, I guess if it's about blowing dudes, it's racist, but if it's white and nerdy, it's fine. I don't know what his thought process really is. It's weird the way MC Lars actually brought that up a few months before. I almost think, like, MC Lars, I know he's a fan of Sage Francis.
He references Sage Francis
right.
in a track.
So I kind of think he got that idea from Sage Francis and just brought it up first and kind of made me realize where he probably got that idea.
But Lars wouldn't be racist then.
Well, he has a song, White Kids... aren't hyphy.
White kids aren't hyphy, which, I mean, there's
generic
also...
Generic crunk rap?
Generic crunk rap, which is totally lambasting that entire musical movement. Now, do I agree with it? Yeah, I think crunk is pretty ridiculous. But by doing it in hip-hop form, does that make MC Lars's statements about it racist? That's the question. And based off of a strict response to how Sage Francis said it, then yes. MC Lars is as racist as nerdcore.
Oh, you hear that, Lars?
I mean, that's what I thought when he went off on that. I was like, really? Like, and then he has that song about terrorist girl.
Terrorist girl.
Which is kind of... And then he comes out and it's just very contradicting. I didn't...
Yeah, it's... Too, when you make a statement like that, you have to be very...
That was the cat. If you know, in the background. He just knocked over our fan.
This weekend, you did a music video shoot?
Yes.
Changing horses.
With Chozo Nimpo, we made a song called Fago Rain, which it's basically a ICP / Juggalo diss track. I'm not a fan of ICP. Maybe when I was 15, I did own Great Malenko, but that got old quick. And I mean, I don't really personally have anything against, like, Scagnetti is a good friend of mine. He has Juggalo tattoos. HD Ninja, I know, are huge. Yeah. I mean, I've met some. It was more a poking fun kind of track, so yeah. Nothing serious.
It's not like saying every single person who's a Juggalo, fuck you, or anything like that.
It kind of is, but it's more supposed to be tongue-in-cheek.
Right. I mean, like with anything you do, it's meant to be a joke.
Right. I mean, it was a fun track that me and Chozo put together, and then we just made a music video yesterday, and it's very, just a tribute to Kevin Smith movies. Like, I'm dressed as Silent Bob. Chozo's basically like Jay, we're in front of a quick stop, and there's just a lot of references to different Kevin Smith movies. There's a part where we're in a pet store, and I'm trying to do the Jedi mind trick with the cigarette kind of thing. And so it has nothing at all, the video has nothing at all to do with Juggalos other than the content of the lyrics, but it's all over the place.
Is there a reference to Jersey Girl in the video?
No, no, it's not. I think the only ones that we really referenced was Clerks 1, Clerks 2, Mallrats, and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I'm going to be sending it to a guy to edit for us, and I think we're going to just request that it's all black and white, like the original Clerks.
Nice.
See what kind of attention that gets. But
well, since Juggalos are a church now, then there is some kind of prejudice behind this that I'm sure that...
Yeah, are you guys... So are you hating on the Juggalo faith?
I mean, I think it's like a cult. No doubt. It's like, yeah. Scientology. I mean, not always.
Going back, which MC Lars makes fun of in one of his tracks.
Right. And you and me, actually, you, Hex, and yeah. myself, and Scagnetti, we had a nice experience with Scientology.
That was really creepy.
Yeah, we went into the building, and they showed us a video, and I felt disoriented. And
this sounds amazing. When and where did this happen?
This happened like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was during that whole rally with Anonymous going out and doing their thing, and we were just there to just see it all, and then we're like,
let's see both sides of the argument.
So we went in,
nest.
We went in there, and that... there was something weird about that. I mean, the video was weird.
It's on YouTube. I've seen it again.
Mm-hmm. And the weirdest part is when we went to leave, they had another set of chairs set up to watch another video in another room, and we're just like, Eddie Scagnetti made up this thing. You know, it's my daughter's birthday. We
Which
go.
It was.
So we try to leave, and the doors are locked. I mean, it's just a weird coincidence, but I got shocked when I touched the door. But I think it was static electricity. But it was just a weird coincidence. Like, it shocked me, and then it was locked, and they unlocked it for us. I don't know, it was creepy. And they all had this, like, glazed over thing in their eyes. I don't know.
I blogged about it a while ago. Right afterwards. I can dig out that blog if the listeners are interested.
That sounds so unusual.
But anyways, I mean, I guess Juggalos aren't as bad as Scientologists, but to me, it seems like some of them are. It's very culty in some aspects. I mean, but like I said, people like Scagnetti, HD Ninja, they seem like normal. Well, Scagnetti's kind of weird, but I wouldn't say he's like a culty kind of guy.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think he's weird because of what he listens to. It's
right.
Just how he is.
And that's just his personality, yeah. Right?
If you ask Nerdcore, 50% will say, well, yes, I would put ICP as one of my influences of how I rap. Do you have any ongoing projects at the moment?
Last year, I filmed a movie called Suburban Backlot, and that's actually the final edit final rough edit is finally being done. We still gotta go back and do ADR and maybe a few reshoots, but I'm hoping it should be in film festivals like 6 months from now.
Oh wow.
Hopefully. It's making decent progress from what I hear with editing. Right after that, I made Shine Avenue with Emergency Pizza Party. We did that. Speaking of, we have a show coming up on November 20th in Gainesville with Rappy McRapperson, Mark with a C, and Zombies Organize.
Awesome.
December 18th, we're playing a festival with Diplo is the headliner. That's going to be in Edgewater Ranch, so that should be cool. And we're actually playing the same day as Diplo.
Awesome.
Yeah. For me personally, I've been slowly working on a solo album called Bird Flu, I think is going to be. And Bizarro Stylus is another side project. I've been making tracks and compiling them
but it's all a very slow process. I just here and there work on stuff.
What's the difference between the Bizarro Stylist music and the rest of your music?
Bizarro Stylist is, I do three different voices for three different characters who I've drawn out and made like little music videos for, and it's like really just simple animation. It's not even really animation, it's just me drawing a picture, scanning, going to the next one, and that's basically all it is. I've also drawn out like a storyboard style comic book that I've been working on for them. It's a weird side project that I have, basically.
It originated as an April Fool's joke parody of an actual now defunct nerdcore group.
That is true, yeah. Bushido Stylist, which was Illithid, Colin P, Pillsbury Android, and then Tiger Optic used to be in the group, but
at the time of the parody, he wasn't
in it anymore. So it's just the three of them: Bizarro Illithid, Bizarro Colin P, and Bizarro Pillsbury Android. Illithid is like a half squid man kind of guy with an afro. Pillsbury Android is exactly how it sounds, and Colin P is just a weird girl.
Scientist thing.
Yeah, she's a scientist. She may or may not have built Pillsbury Android. You'll find out later in the comics if I ever release them.
Yo, what is a juggalo? I know he is ugly, but they are lucky though. Juggle, it's a lovely hose. Murderous clowns, we ensure that they drown in a pool of blood. Tool thugs will be found.
What?
So we crown them down like Jesus Christ. Kids on Skype and bread types, disease mice. We need dynamite for this kind of fight. Juggalos blow pie like flying kites. Dying tonight, it's juggalo genocide, crying for life. And struggle for many guys and dudes. That they can blow. Gay sex is apex of the juggalo. Chuckle on those nuts, snuggle with bro butts, scrotums are sewn shut, juggalos are whole sluts, you know what?
What?
We'll super soak them, provoke them slow like old user modems.
Fago rain, unemployed so they're panhandling.
So insane, idiots that keep on blathering.
Man, they're lame, so dumb they don't know what's happening.
Fago rain, now's the time to nuke the gathering.
Juggalo killers, you can juggle these balls, but fucking each other in dirty bathroom stalls. Remember the dead baby? I murdered that bitch. Mama crying to Shaggy, sucking dick to get rich. They claim to be ninjas, I'm a true assassin. We'll crash the gathering, going in with guns blasting. Better yet, we should just nuke the place. Make a painted face into a pile of nuclear waste. Fucking juggalos, how do they work? They don't, they're just a bunch of unemployed jerks spending food stamps on shit loads of fagos in the trailer park gang with their juggalo gay bros. Fucking faggots need to lose their attitude before erection shows you how we really blow dudes. Cock back the weapon, you know it's the end, right? They should have told your ass not to bring an axe to a gunfight.
Fago rain, unemployed so they're panhandling.
So insane, idiots that keep on blathering.
Man, they're lame, so dumb they don't know what's happening.
Fago rain, now's the time to nuke the gathering.
You stink of asshole, stuff your face with cheese fries, while Shaggy and Jay stuff your ears with these lies. Another cash scam, taking all of your cash while they don't give a damn. These juggalo kids, they struggle up the head, forgive the ignorance, belligerent, live in a meth house, left out white trash, rednecks, found made up in clown makeup from FedEx.
If you took your juggalos with long hair and rednecks, you can bet the situation probably ends in gay sex. Horrible credit, they're always bouncing checks. Too bad a dad didn't shoot them off in some latex.
Yo, Violet J, way flabby and gross. Shaggy too dope, pedal like the Pope. Hello, here is soap, learn to use it. How do magnets work? You jerks are stupid.
Fago rain, unemployed so they're panhandling. So insane, idiots that keep on blathering. Man, they're lame, so dumb they don't know what's happening. Fago rain, now's the time to nuke the gathering.
So that was a lot of fun. Cap and I did that earlier today, and we got to hang out with a cat called Astronaut Bruce Willis.
Astronaut Bruce Willis, also Whiskey, also...
I named him Gizmo, because he reminded me of the Mogboy.
That's in the top two cat names of all time, that and Spot, the most commonly used.
Yeah, this is true. But here's a great thing. This cat didn't care about most of those names, totally responded to Bruce Willis, Astronaut.
Astronaut Bruce Willis. Like, hey, look. Astronaut Bruce Willis is over there. Turn, walk towards me. I'm like,
that's its name.
That's why we still call Diana's cat Dallas. Because Diana hates the kid named Dallas. I'm not a big fan of it. But but the damn cat responds to it. And if that cat can move for anything, you just gotta run with it. Like, okay, your name is Dallas. Because this cat is massive.
It's probably
big as Texas.
He's probably running a secret crime organization that is constantly thwarted by...
And has the same body mass as the entire cast of this television series, Dallas.
Change of pace. Back during Fight the Power, we actually had the chance to interview Super Powerless and Jalen of Tetrastar. Super Powerless is, of course, the UK chiptune artist who we applauded his music video, the amazing music video for Wasted My Time.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
And so
funded by MTV UK.
Yeah. And so we got to check that out. But before we listen to that interview, here is the Super Powerless track, Press Start and Jump Around. Got you interested in making chiptunes music?
I don't know really. I was making music before I got into chiptune, and then like I found some plugins that did it, and then that kind of sprung it off. But I was listening to other chiptune artists as well, but I wanted to do stuff with like vocals in as well, because not a lot of it does have vocals. It's a bit disappointing.
What kind of music were you making before you got into chiptunes?
Like pop punk stuff, and that's kind of spilled into chiptune stuff as well.
Okay.
It's interesting how chiptunes always sort of spills out from some level of punk rock, because, I mean, we were talking to Doc Pop and what he was, some kind of punk metal origins.
And talking to Pixel Hate, he totally had a punk mentality of the whole...
I think it's like the do-it-yourself idea that comes with the punk thing.
It's totally a part of the chiptune scene, is that whole DIY, I want to make music my own way. Actually, Square Whale from Seattle, Washington. He also was totally into, he was a member of a punk band before he got into chiptunes too. That's weird.
I think when you talk to most of them, they listen to like rock music and punk stuff. Like, when
I hardly ever, like, oh, I love trance, I'm really into that. Oh my god, I can't live a day without Derude.
When you actually go to the live gigs, to do it live, it doesn't transform very well as just the Game Boy music, but there's a really, like, pop-punk element to it in the in the gigs. I mean, like, we've had stage invasions, Game Boy moshing, it's the loud screaming vocals, layered vocals, but...
Wow, explain Game Boy moshing to me.
Oh, Game Boy moshing is the best. Well, we've got breaks in the song and everything, and, I mean, you've pretty much got it down, you know, the triggering the sequences, but, you just get into it, jump around, jump into the audience, stage diving. We did a show in Glasgow, I actually fell into the crowd, and on accident, because I'm clumsy, and I found the other crazy in Glasgow, those kids fell into the audience and they pushed through me back up on stage. And we've got, you know, cables tearing and pulling out, and it's a lot of pop punk elements.
What are you doing with Super Powerless and Tetrastar right now? Like, what's on the horizon?
We just released a cover album of Tetrastar, and I'm working on an original album of Super Powerless, and we're going to start an original album of Tetrastar as well. We'll get back. Yeah. Done a few songs.
Super Powerless is definitely the party band, the live band.
Yeah.
And so all of our gigs that we do are Super Powerless gigs, and we bring in a lot of other people as well. So we've had as many as 5 people on stage as Super Powerless and as little as 2. But for Tetrastar, we want to record an original album that I'm going to be writing the vocal melodies and lyrics, and he'll be working on all of the amazing instrumentation. But Super Powerless is going to go through a whole re-recording process.
Yeah, I'm going through, because, like, I've been working on the same songs for like 3-4 years now, so I'm going to like finally finish them all off and then release an actual album of the finished versions of everything, so it'll be cool to get it finished off.
Walk us through the process of the technical requirements for making a Super Powerless song.
Well, I usually start from like guitar, because I've always come at it from like a real instrument point of view, and then I work on the drums and stuff, all in Cubase, and then the chiptune stuff comes later on after I've like kind of written the bulk of the song.
And then replaces like other instruments.
Yeah, there's about 50 versions of every song that I've done on my computer, just progressively getting more and more chiptune, and then like I have to pull it back at the end.
And for chiptunes, you use LSDJ on a Game Boy, or...?
And like a load of plugins and stuff as well, and there's loads of homebrew stuff I just download and then sample a few sounds that I like and then just throw them in songs later on.
For the gigs, we've got the Pixel 8 cartridges, and for the recordings, he has more control over the VSTs and synthetic sounds like that.
So you use Pixel 8's Music Game Pro, or...?
Yeah, Music Tech Pro.
Tech Pro.
The live one.
We've got the Game Boy one, and then what do you have on the Game Boy Advance?
Pro version.
So what's your take on the High Court ruling in the UK?
I don't think it's really like having an effect, because I think it's more aimed at people that are copying games and stuff, and like, that is bad. Shouldn't do it.
I feel like it's very unlikely that the police will storm in on one of our shows and confiscate our instruments from us. But that's because we have such a low profile. It does limit our ability to ever get a lot of publicity doing what we're doing. But yeah, then again, I guess it could be good publicity if we were all arrested for...
Then we help with the punk profile.
We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep using them. Absolutely. I mean, even like we have backing tracks that go along with what we're doing off of the DS cards, R4 card.
Yeah.
It's not going to change what we're doing.
No. I can't see them enforcing it if you've already got one and stuff. Like, they're not going to invade people's homes to check if they're using...
What exactly are they planning on doing to stop artists from using them?
See, I know that the ruling isn't targeting them.
Musicians,
It's targeting the copying, but it's kind of a side effect of...
Pixel 8 sees it as targeting the progression and longevity of the chiptunes movement. So, not directly, of course, but indirectly, and with full knowledge that they were, you know, injuring.
But for him, I can understand, because he is such, he's a much bigger target, and he's actually, you know, manufacturing and then, you know, distributing the software, what we use.
Right.
So it would probably have a larger effect on him than anyone else.
It's not going to really stop anything, but it might discourage a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, when Napster went down, it didn't stop people pirating music, so...
When I've talked to Pixelhate and other chiptunes artists in the UK, they've talked about when they are going towards a bigger profile, they've been explicitly told, don't show off the Game Boy, don't...
Who's been saying that to them? Like,
on television appearances and stuff.
Television
people
appearances.
People have been saying, don't show your Game Boy with your cartridge. And
right.
Actually, when do you know that MTV music video?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that we weren't allowed to show a Game Boy in the videos. So they had to make one out of, like, wood. I don't know if you saw it at the end, but it's like a wooden Game Boy made. It was supposed to look like one, but not actually be one, so they could get around.
That's weird, because they couldn't use the likeness, or...
Yeah.
But there will be clever solutions like that to it. I mean, people are going to know.
And you can show, guitars and stuff in your videos, so it's just an interesting
idea.
If you debrand it as, you know, non-Nintendo...
Handheld device.
We had a guy in the band for a while who built this MIDI keytar, which was he took the Guitar Hero guitar, all the buttons and the triggers and the little strummy bit, and then he got a guitar, sawed into it, wired it all through into a real guitar body, and then had a MIDI out that went into his laptop, so he could sequence all of the chiptune sounds off of his laptop, which I don't think are covered by any sort of copyrights that I'm aware of, and then play it on trigger different sequences with the buttons, and then strum it.
Full of lights.
Yeah,
as well.
And it also lit up with LEDs.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Sounds amazing.
It was cool, but the problem was, you know, you couldn't like rock out with it, or else all of the soldering would break. So he was losing buttons while we were playing.
Oh my god!
Yikes.
I know that Hyper Dragons has that same problem where equipment just falls apart on them. On stage.
And what's the official phrase that they're using for playing on Game Boys and other Nintendo products that doesn't say that they use Game Boys?
I don't remember.
See, that's a good question. That's how do you use the novelty of it without saying...
Like, without saying I'm a Nintendo fan, because that's what they used to say. That's what practically Anna Managuchi says.
Yeah.
Something like various retro electronics or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's retro electronics.
Yeah.
Retro gaming music or something like that.
Well, I mean, I gotta say... Around town, around Leeds, around the UK, we're known as the Game Boy Band.
Yeah.
So whether we are saying that about ourselves or not, that's what people say about
people
it.
People still say that.
Yeah.
People are still getting like the way I describe Anna Managuchi. It's a Nintendo rock band.
Yeah.
But people are fascinated by it, you know, especially if they've never seen it before. If we go into a pub and there's just your average, you know, student age crowd, everybody remembers, and it's a nostalgia, and people get interested. They want to play on them afterwards.
Even kids that, like, wouldn't have had a Game Boy when they were growing up, like, because they're too young.
Yeah, older people, like, much, much older are interested as well in how it works, the technology of it. And then the guitar rock people hate us. They just hate it. Because we do a lot of gigs with, you know, your indie bands and stuff, and then this is the comment we get all the time, oh, why did I bother learning how to play guitar? So that one's getting old.
Yeah, that's getting old just across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, even people say that about just the premise of Rock Band in general.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, electronic music systems of any kind.
But you gotta give it to someone if you're taking that medium, which you enjoy, and then turning it into an art form.
Yeah.
Then you should have some respect for that, I think. Whether you don't think it's as skillful or not, at least it's got some ingenuity to it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I have guitarists and drummers in the band and stuff as well.
So. The gigs with the drummers don't go very well.
No. No, it's hard to find like reliable drummers that are good. They're like the hardest type of musician to find.
And willing to work with you and not officially be in the band.
It's quite a commitment taking a drum kit to gigs.
I was just talking to someone earlier today about how there's no mega bands anymore. You don't see a big funk band anymore that has this like whole horn ensemble and a drum kit and all this jazz, because no one's willing to pay to have all those people come out. And sometimes it's not worth the hassle when all you can do is just bring out a Game Boy. And you're like,
it's difficult. I mean, like with Chumbawamba, you know, they used to be a 15-piece band in a lot of, you know, with their massive trip hop sound and everything, and now they're like a 5 or 6 person folk band.
Yeah, I mean, like Aquabats is now like a 4 person band.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because that was all theatrics.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more people on stage.
Well, that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, 18 people up on stage, like, interacting.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the appeal of watching the Proto Men. Yeah. There's, like, so many people on stage all doing their own thing.
Yeah, really, at the moment, I guess they're one of them and Arcade Fire, just about the biggest bands I can think of as far as personnel goes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's why what we're doing live isn't intended to sound true to what he's making recorded.
Yeah.
Because people do want to see. They want to see a lot of people up there, a lot of energy, a lot of interactions. And...
Yeah. We've got, like, a whole different live version of all the songs, like, we do live. It works better with more musicians and stuff rather than...
How often do you get to record your live versions? The versions are so different. Is there a way for people to savor these alternate live versions?
We've got a lot of videos, but the audio quality on the video cameras we're using isn't great. It would be great to have someone come out and
We've videoed a lot of stuff for like our own use and like watching ourselves. Yeah. Should release some of that at some stage. But, and sometimes we'll make a whole new live set for just like one gig and then never play it again.
Yeah. We program it with all new drum sounds. Metal drums. We did one the other day. We programmed metal drums instead of chip drums.
Interesting.
Well, let's see. So chiptunes denotes that you guys have a strong video game influence in your lives. What are your favorite video games ever?
I only play on iPhone games at the moment. I like Angry Birds.
And he has no memory past 6 months ago, so...
Yeah. And I love tower defense games. I'll sit for like a day on the computer playing tower defense games.
Yeah. But if you were to think of like Nintendo games, like classic...
Yeah, what's had the biggest impression on your life?
Tetris, Mario, all that.
Actually, he can do like an insane amount of Tetris lines.
Yeah. I don't really play much video games anymore. As soon as I got into music, I kind of replaced playing video games.
Yeah.
And then this has kind of brought it back, but you know, iPhone, that's where it's at.
How about yourself?
I had a Game Boy when I was a kid, and I didn't have any friends, so that was the only thing that I did on my weekends and when I got home from school, because I was only allowed to watch 30 minutes of TV a day. So, all the Mario World games, all of that. I had a Sega Game Gear, and then the Nintendo 64. Favorite game of all time is probably going to be something new. And not so retro, like Zelda, Wind Waker, or something.
I had my dad's Commodore 64 when I was growing up. That was awesome. I had this game called Trolley Wally. And it had like you know that popcorn song. It had like a chiptune version of that, and that was like my favorite song. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What other stuff, say, outside of the video game sphere, do you guys geek out on the most? Like, what's your, the thing that you show the most fan love towards?
TV
shows. You know, I used to be so into, to so many things. I mean, it used to be like, I used to keep up with comic books. I used to keep up with game releases. I used to keep up with cartoon animation. I wanted to be a cartoon animator. And now, all we do is work on music. It's kind of ironic that, you know, this is like the, kind of the roots of what music genre we're in and the references and the but you know we don't even have time for it anymore and so what about you?
Pretty much the same really, I think.
Yeah,
we've like spent so much time doing music that we don't actually watch the stuff that we sing about anymore. It's weird.
And I wonder about how many other geeky artists and nerd music maybe are in similar situations.
Yeah,
I know, the only time Pixelate gets to play video games is when it's with his kids.
Yeah.
And the only time I play video games are when I have to do a review of them. Yeah. So then I never finish anything.
So then we're all holding on to this nostalgia because it had a big part of our life in our lives, but like it's maybe grown into more.
Go back into the Roller Coaster Tycoon game.
Oh,
don't. Theme Hospital. That was really good as well.
Yeah.
My mom got Zoo Tycoon for my little sister, and I gave it a shot, and I love that game too. I didn't want to.
How long can you sit on it for one time? Because I think he holds the record.
God, I honestly sat there for 48 hours playing Civilization 3 once.
I believe you.
Like, start to finish, I conquered the world, I just sat back, I'm like, I really need a shower.
And then you hemorrhaged at the mouth.
It's not just that, it's that brain warp, and then you can't even walk, you can't even think, you can't interact with people
anymore.
You're
like this, so when you get up, you're like sharp pain, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. We did. We stayed up for 20, but we got up in the morning. We didn't have anything to do today. We're like, we should record a song today.
Yeah,
we should do that. Oh, look, a tower defense game. Oh, this one's cool. You should try this.
So then we played it the entire day.
For at least 24 hours. And then it was like, I'm so tired, but I need this upgrade. It is, we didn't get a song done that day, to be fair. Oh, Pokemon, I meant to say.
Oh, that was
my favorite Game Boy game when I was a little kid. That was it. That was my hours and hours and hours of childhood gaming.
Which color cartridge did you play?
I had them all, but...
Because you had to catch
them. I had to catch them all. Yeah, and...
And you didn't have any friends, so...
And I didn't have any friends, so... I had so many. Actually, but I had a little brother, and he had some good Pokemon, so every time he'd build them up, I would, when he wasn't around, steal his Pokemon, trade him for, like, little Pidgeys and stuff, and he was outraged.
He was as he
should be. Yeah, he should have been. No, he should have been. He's still... No, you don't. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. No, I still play on the DS. The DSi. I've got a DSi, which was stupid because my R4 card doesn't work on it. But I just wanted one anyways. I still got a DS and an R4 card. But, probably play Red the most. We're actually working on... Well, Oliver is writing and composing a musical.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And we want to do a full
video
with
awesome.
It, like high quality. We're going to get, we're going to get a real crew involved because we've got a lot of great people in the UK who are willing to work with us for free,
mm-hmm.
who all have similar interests, and it's going to incorporate. Yeah.
I saw this awesome jacket, and I really love the jacket, and it's quite expensive. So to justify buying the jacket, I had to write a music video about the jacket. So, not a music video,
I'm
musical.
Okay with that. That's awesome.
Oliver, and it's his overpriced dream coat. Yeah, so he's been writing nonstop, and it's gonna incorporate a lot of chiptune elements, but also with more like guitar rock fundamentals and things.
We're gonna try and like in Scott Pilgrim, the way they've like put in pixely graphics into the film.
Yeah,
we're gonna try and like incorporate something like that into the video side of it as well. So
nice. So that'll be done in the next year because it's his uni project, so it has to be.
Yeah.
We're going to be very busy.
Every time I write songs, I'm really excited about doing music videos. And that's like, I don't know, I just really like the music video side of everything.
Obsessed is the word.
That's the right word.
Yeah.
So this kind of just like incorporates everything into one project where I'm actually writing with the video in mind from the beginning. And next, we have Float On by Tetrastar, the cover of Modest Mouse. Enjoy.
Followed by video games. Woo!
Do
Hi, this is Christopher Lambert. I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, giving you money by visiting the Nerdy Show and picking up a t-shirt. Donate directly to the Nerdy Show for cool, nerdy perks. These guys know how to fight the soldiers of Outworld. They didn't ask you to come back to do Mortal Kombat 2. I'm not quite sure why. I would have done it for free. I don't know why they asked James Remar to play Raiden in Mortal Kombat 2 Annihilation. Hey, I stole your car from the party. Get over it.